Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm surprised you knew the opening, because Matt often says in the middle of the show, I don't think Sarah's listening, so we can talk about this.
He's not wrong.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Oh, it's me.
But he has to think for a moment.
Yeah, he does.
Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School. My name is Sarah Lowe, and I am filling in for Matt Donnelly. We are live here at Show Creator Studio South in Las Vegas. Today we are going to talk about Jesus.
Jesus
Christ Superstar, the movie musical. And here he is preaching love, Penn Jillette.
I'm here preaching love. You know, I'm kind of thinking this is a kind of a Rosie the Riveter point of view. You know, kind of this is the situation. Because
yeah.
Matt has gone off to war.
He's gone.
And the women have to fill in doing jobs that are traditionally male roles.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah.
So you've got your bandana on, tied to the front.
Yeah.
You've got the muscle.
My sleeves are rolled up.
Yeah.
I'm showing off my guns.
We're fighting the Nazis.
And that's exactly, that's how I plan to fill in today, is Nazi fighting.
Loose lips sink ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you kind of are interested in that period, though, musically.
Absolutely. You say loose lips sink ships, and we've always made jokes about how loose our lips are.
Yeah. Now, when you did that, do you still do that group at all?
You know, it's funny. We just talked about trying to do a show. That's right. The Apple Sisters with Kimmy Gatewood and Rebecca Johnson. But Kimmy has been very successfully directing on television over the last couple years. And Rebecca has been writing and starring in shows. And so we've been trying to do really one every year. And then we just the last 2 years really haven't been able to. But we are trying to do one this year. We're going to try around the holidays.
Now, it's kind of like the Andrew Sisters and the Three Stooges.
Yes, it is.
Kind of. I don't ever like that blank meets blank format, but I'll say it without that meets in the middle, and then I kind of fool myself that I'm not doing the same hack thing.
Pretty good.
But you don't usually, or you didn't used to. I mean, it's not true anymore, but you didn't used to see women do physical comedy that much. I mean, Lucy got credit for it.
Right.
But Lucy had the problem of not being funny. which I think limited her ability to do comedy.
Well, and a lot.
Are you a Lucy fan?
I like Lucy. Sure, yeah.
I think compared to Carol Burnett.
Well, Carol Burnett and is again. It's like women couldn't be funny and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't beautiful, then you were allowed to be funny. And so with Lucy, who was beautiful, but people didn't think her physical comedy to be very physical because it was mostly just kind of stuff on the face or whatever.
Like crying.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen the Three Stooges short with Lucy in it?
I don't think I ever have.
Very attractive. Have you seen the topless picture of Lucy?
No.
It's very easily available.
Okay.
And the thing is that by the time... Even though I'm wicked older than you, by the time I came in to Lucy, she was already this, you know, old icon.
Yeah.
And you didn't, it's like my dad has 8 or 10 autograph books, or I have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He sent away for autographs because, you know, this is way back, like Depression times. He was poor enough that this was a hobby. He wanted to be a coin collector, but he didn't have the money. That wasn't even a joke, but
it was good.
But he got autographs.
Yeah.
And
so you could write away for autographs and they'd send them in?
You still can.
Really?
Yeah. You write to the Jonas Brothers.
Do people
say, I really love you. I'm 14 and I'll blow you on your next tour and you'll get an autograph picture back.
But will I get to blow them on their next tour?
Well, you know, that has to be classified. So my dad would would write for autographs. And he has stuff like the guy who created Dennis the Menace and all these cartoonists doing little cartoons just for him and Hey Sam and stuff from like all these, probably has your grandmother's autograph.
Oh.
I have to look carefully because it's the exact right time.
Yeah.
And he has like five volumes that might be there. But I was startled to see a picture of Grandma of the Beverly Hillbillies as an ingenue.
Oh, gosh, what was her name?
Irene Ryan.
Irene Ryan.
Irene Ryan. No, she did No, No, Nanette with my mother. No, No, Nanette. I believe she did that. She also did another musical.
But not Yes, Yes, Yolanda.
Yes, Yes, Ralphie. Is what I, yes, that's what when we were doing it at Glendale Center Theater in Glendale, California. My friend Jess would always make fun of us and say, I also have rehearsals for Yes, Yes, Ralphie, and I will just...
But I don't understand why the alliteration was thrown away by that dipshit. Why was it a Yes, Yes, Yolanda?
Yes, Yes, Yolanda would be a very different show.
But anyway, Lucy Topless, you can find easily.
Well, I'll look for
you. You will. And if you see her in the Stooges short, which is also easy to find, she is the... you know, the va-va-va-voom, term.
Oh, I absolutely think she's beautiful. She was a beautiful actress.
But I tell you, she was slowed down in comedy by not being funny, I think, considerably.
By not being funny?
Yeah. Well, I think that can be that not an insurmountable obstacle. I mean, tell her. But, I mean, Teller would say that.
Yes.
Because Teller was into magic, and then we got doing comedy, and he was kind of thrust into comedy, although not his natural tendency.
Yeah, you can't really tell that it's not his natural tendency.
But, you know, I've always thought that Desi Arnaz was just amazing.
Well,
you know, he invented the three-camera sitcom.
Right, absolutely. And I do
and
think
he was also not funny.
And different, had an understanding of comedy, right? Not really was in him necessarily, but could understand it and see. A better director, probably, he would have been.
I'll make fun of being Latinx, and that's the end of that's the end of what I do.
Right.
So anyway.
So he could have starred in Yes, Yes, Yolanda.
Yeah. The Apple Sisters.
The Apple Sisters, a 1943. It's always 1943 in our world. And it's, it was a musical comedy trio. Who just...
And now, did you do research on that period?
Sure. Yeah. But then we kind of altered the period. So when you talk about Nazis, for us, it was the Nasties, which were just like the Nazis, but much worse, and with more eye patches.
I see.
You know? Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah.
But, and you also, your music that you did during that...
Yes.
To my ear, the harmonies were pretty accurate.
Yes.
And the forms were insane. It's like you had no idea what AABA was, which is the form of every song in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
It's either a 12-bar blues or AABA or an 8-bar with a middle 8.
We don't need you to tell us what to do, sir. We'll make our own music. We would just, we wanted to write our own songs. Kimmy had more of an understanding of music than Rebecca and I, which I understand music. You know, I grew up with musical theater, so story structure music, certainly. Mm-hmm. But we would just kind of write out without even really, we kind of think of a tune and we'd kind of write it out. And then we'd get together with our piano player arranger. We had a couple over our time and just start saying, like, it kind of sounds like this.
You think you had the tunes and you had the harmony and you had the rhythm.
Yeah.
It was, when I go there, it's just like, where is the form? I mean, Louis Armstrong and Hank Williams worked really hard to create the American form for the song.
Yeah, well, they're stupid men and we don't care about their form.
And you would go like, it would be like 10 bars and then into the middle 6, then like another 14 bars.
If the middle 6 fit what the comedy was, that's what we would do.
Yeah, well, I did on an old show called Sin City Spectacular. I wrote a song with Gary Stockdale called The Submarine of Magic Boys, which was sung by three women in harmony, singing about the guys during World War II who toured submarines doing magic. And the gag on it was that Teller and I'd be working in a submarine, and you know all the magic props, that this is a secret magic thing. It's a secret magic thing that everyone who sees one of these shows knows. Would people produce a lot of stuff?
Yeah.
Like umbrellas? It's just stuff that folded up.
Right, right, right.
So the whole show was they would sing these submarine magic boys, and then we were producing all these things in a submarine. And of course, it was just we'd pack up our case and then throw it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, we were just packing it up.
Packing every pack, yeah.
And I remember having a huge fight with Dr. Stockdale, who was the musical director and wrote the songs with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd written it out, and I had this whole Andrew Sisters vibe.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was wicked, wicked funny.
Yeah.
And he said, no, no, we you got an extra bar there. We can't do that at the end. And you've also got a really hard vowel for the singers to sing in harmony as the last note. So we can't do this. We've got to rewrite it.
Uh-huh.
And we need to cut the last bar. And we argued and argued and argued, and other writers were in the room.
Uh-huh.
And we argued and argued and argued. And finally, since it was called Penn and Teller, Sin City Spectacular, and not Gary Stockdale, Sin City Spectacular, I finally did one of the oddest management things I've ever done.
Uh-huh.
I said to Michael Godot, who was a writer on the show, I said, Godot, I just stopped talking to Stockdale. I said, Godot, I'm going to go out and make myself a cup of tea. And I'm going to sit looking out the window, having my cup of tea. And when I come back in, if Stockdale has not agreed to do it my way, I'm going to fire you. Because we can't get rid of Stockdale because we got to do the show.
Yeah. Well, and Godot
went, what? And I walked out and I came back in and Stockdale said, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised as the story was going, I was concerned that you were changing it, but no, you didn't change it. And that's actually with the three of us, it was always if two of us agreed, even if one, like, I'm dying on this hill. No, two people said this is the way it is, then that's the way it, we would always do it. And God so love.
Teller and I do it by weight.
Yeah. I count for two people, so it's going to be my way. Yeah. And, you know. Jerome, our sweet piano player, who would try to say, I don't think this is right. We'd say, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll make it work.
We sure need another measure.
Yeah, we need. No.
And I would sit there, and I guess I saw your show twice.
Mm-hmm.
I would sit there really, really enjoying it, saying, this is great. This is really funny. And then I'd have this feeling of disquiet at the end of the songs.
Yeah.
So the next songs would come along and I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4, 6, 2, 3, 4, 7, 2, 3, 4, 8, 2, 3, 4, 9, 2, 3, 4. Now we're into the chorus. What? I'd say that's why there was this, it was this really, really neat quality that just kind of shimmered off it where you just went. And I've always wondered why those forms were so sacrosanct. I mean, whether you're talking about Perry Como or The Clash, they follow
it. They follow it. Yeah.
Completely.
Well, and if you notice, though, you've talked about two successful groups. So maybe we should have followed the the structure a little more.
Would it hurt you to do another measure? You just want a manager to come in with a cigar. How much would it hurt? Do another measure.
I think about you talking to Blue Man Group, and I was like, nobody came and talked to us and said, hey, here's an idea. Well, have you thought about this? Because we're like, no, we're going to do it this way. Yeah. Three very headstrong women deciding our own fate consistently. So this is why we're all doing different things right now.
Yeah, but when you think about the structure of the American Songbook, whether you're talking about Jimmy Rogers, whether you're talking about Hank Williams, whether you're talking about Howlin' Wolf, or whether you're talking about Jonathan Richman, none of them step out the way the Apple Sisters did. And you would think, that's the thing that's so incredible about this, you would think you'd be out of tune. Or you'd think you'd have bad rhymes. Or you'd think your harmony would be wrong. But no, all that's fine. Just one thing, fuck you, Louis Armstrong.
Well, thank you for the compliments. And yes, fuck you, Louis Armstrong. You can find all our music on Apple Tunes, yep, on Spotify, and you can see for yourself.
And someone should send the Apple Sisters just a breakdown, yeah, of one song that just follows one of the forms of the Great American Songbook. I mean, was it Irving Berlin that got in a huge controversy over... what song is it? It's a really, really famous song that is the wrong number of bars.
Mm.
And people ripped him apart for it. Night and Day.
Cole Porter.
Oh,
Night and Day goes, yes, too long without a break.
Yeah.
And people just went apeshit over that. And you just want to say to them, listen to the Apple System.
Here you go. You think that's bad.
You'll be praying for Night and Day.
I think that's also what's interesting is most of our music is, when you're watching it, it really is fine. It may bother you a little bit, but you go with it.
Sure.
But if you just listen to it, I think you might, you know, do yourselves a favor. Go watch the music videos instead.
But either of the other two things,
yeah,
would be unspeakable. If you were singing those tight Andrew Sisters harmonies out of tune...
Oh, it would be painful, yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And if you're out of time, horrible. And if your lyrics were bad, horrible. But form, fuck it.
Well, thank you. Also, we have, you know, we were in the deleted scenes of Bridesmaids. We had shot the movie, and they had given us, they had written music and harmonies.
Uh-huh.
And it struggled. And then same thing with Christmas Story Live that they did on, I think it was Fox or something like that. We got hired to do that in one of the numbers as a radio group because,
uh-huh,
Maya Rudolph had remembered us from Bridesmaids.
Uh-huh.
And same thing. They were teaching us the harmonies. And it was the two guys who've written Waving Through a Window. They're just like the greatest showmen, these guys. Anyway. All my musical theater friends are hating me right now. But they're working with us. And we're thinking, oh, this is so exciting. And they're trying to plunk out harmonies for us. And the three of us, when it's not our own harmonies, have really struggled.
So did you – the harmonies were not written out?
No.
You did them by ear?
Yeah. Yeah. So we would go in and we would play the song. And then Jerome would say, like, this note for you. And then sometimes, you know – Kimmy has a little bit more of a music training. I came from musical theater. Rebecca is more of a comedian. And so she is somebody who will easily drift to whatever note is nearest to hers. So we would try to put her on the melody and then we would sing the harmonies. And a lot of times it worked and sometimes it didn't.
When we did Sin City Spectacular,
mm-hmm,
we had, I wish I could remember their names, but this is so long ago. I don't remember what I was called then.
Probably Penn, but go on.
We got two women from... LA, maybe it was three sometimes, two other times, who were session singers. And we were writing one musical number a week, okay,
mm-hmm,
with song and dance.
Yeah.
That Teller and I had a star in.
Oh, I love it.
And you've sung with me, you know I'm not good.
Well.
So Gary Stockdale would say, these are the harmonies you're doing, but whatever Penn sings, make him sound right. And they were incredible.
I know.
When you get someone who's that good a singer,
yeah,
with a bad singer, they made it sound like that's what I meant to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty spectacular when you have trained professionals who that's their job. I mean, and they tour with all sorts of rock stars and celebrities, and that's their job. Just make that person sound great.
Yeah.
So.
And they just go, you know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was nothing like it was in rehearsals.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
I noticed that you mentioned them, but you didn't mention Heather or myself. as also people who've sung behind you.
The difference is, and there is a major difference.
No, of course.
The difference is that Stockdale was writing that music and it was complicated.
Mm.
Whereas with the No God Band, a lot of it I was writing was very, very simple.
Sure.
I was still off, and you still fixed it, but not to the extent It was, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you didn't do a fine job of removing bunions, but these people did brain surgery.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we're talking about musicals. Is that where I want to be?
Oh, perfect.
And now, have you had this experience where, which I've had a few times, mm-hmm. it's a stunning experience, where you go to experience a piece of art, mm-hmm. which you intend to experience ironically or with absolute ridicule, mm-hmm. and then that drifts away during the show? Have you had that happen to you?
I know that I have. I can't necessarily pinpoint, but I know that I have, and I'm sure it will come to me.
The one that I talk about all the time, because it was a real epiphany in my life, was when we'd see Dean Martin in the 80s in Vegas. And I was with two of my hipster friends.
Yeah.
And we were in leather jackets. And we had all been to see the Ramones in New York City, you know, just a few nights before.
Yeah.
And now Dean Martin is playing Las Vegas. And we'll go see this because wouldn't it be a goof?
You know,
just be funny. And we had no intention, and I tell, every time I tell the story, I make this very clear. We had no intention of being rude or letting anyone know we were there ironically. There's no reason for that. We didn't intend to, but we were going ironically.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see Dino, won't this be a laugh? And then 10 minutes in, we were looking at each other going, oh, this is really good. This is, there's no irony here. And it was an incredible experience for me. It was another one of my experiences with realizing there's one show business, you know. So, I'm an atheist. I don't like musicals.
Two facts, yes.
Dead facts. So the other night, Jen, friend of ours in Jonesy's,
mm-hmm.
Jen, Jonesy, and I were talking, and she said, she's younger than we are, she said, I want to watch Jesus Christ Superstar. And Jones and I both went, what?
Hmm.
Why? What? And she said, I don't know. I just want to, I never heard any of it, never seen it. I just want to watch it. And she said, but she also said, which is wicked funny, she said, because I don't know much of that Christian stuff and just thought I'd learn from this.
Oh, okay.
So,
haven't picked up a Bible, but thought this would be,
What with that?
Andrew Lloyd Webber, I'm sure.
Yeah. Could have picked up Paul Tillich, but no.
No.
I'm gonna watch Jesus Christ Superstar. So Gene, Jonesy, Jen, and I, who ruined the alliteration, decided to watch Jesus Christ Superstar. And
Gillette.
Oh
thank you.
Way to go, Reddy. It went right over my head.
So we decided, watching Jesus.
Yeah.
So,
it's a miracle.
We sat down with the express purpose of ridicule. We were in my home. Ted Neely was not hanging out. Okay.
No.
There were no constraints on us whatsoever.
Yeah.
We were going to ridicule this. We're going to ridicule this, making fun of the time period.
Yep.
We're going to ridicule this making fun of Andrew Lloyd Webber's shitty music. We're going to ridicule this making fun of Tim Rice's shitty lyrics.
Sure.
We're going to make fun of the wardrobe, costuming, certainly the acting, absolutely the singing, the directing, overall the concept. We were just loaded for bear.
So excited.
We were going to have fun.
Yeah.
So I spent my $3.99 on Apple TV.
Uh-huh.
And I bought Jesus Christ Superstar. And
rented. $3.99.
Rented. And we actually made the discussion. I'm never going to watch this again. Let's rent it. So they showed a preview of it beforehand.
Oh, wonderful.
And we went, why they show us the preview? And then the movie starts. And it really didn't take long. Like maybe 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, after making many, many, many unpleasant jokes, I said, I think this is really good. And Jonesy went, it's really good. And Jen went, this is great. And I went, how can it be good? It's really good.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, there's dirty hippie chicks in it.
I was just going to say, from the onset, this is your vibe.
This is my jam.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect everything else. And intellectually, I loved it. And this is the hard part.
Okay.
Theologically and philosophically, I loved it.
Yeah, that's
now, the part. Did you just watch it recently?
I just wanted you to talk about that because I watched this movie. I've seen it a few times over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned it. And I said, all right, I'm going to put this back in and try to look at this with fresh eyes, as mm-hmm. you will. And I remembered it differently. Yeah. So it was a really fun experience to go back and really kind of see it in that way.
Well, the performances are stunning.
Yeah, unbelievable. I agree. And I always felt that way.
I never knew that.
Yeah. I just, from, yes. And then now went back and started to look like, what was this person doing? Where did this person come from? They were, most of them had done the musical.
Yeah.
And had been brought, and in fact, Ted Neely, I believe, wasn't the lead. He was the understudy.
Yeah.
So.
And they'd tried to get Mick Jagger.
Yes.
They tried to get John Lennon. They tried to get Paul McCartney because they thought, how can we ruin this?
Right. And even Mickey Dolenz.
Ted Neely, first of all, basic rules of movies.
Yeah.
Hero doesn't have to be interesting, only the villain.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff that contradicts that. Bruce Willis always contradicts that.
Mm-hmm.
He's always a hero who's interesting. But usually, Wicked Witch of the West, Snow White,
yeah,
it's only the villains.
Queen.
Disney
yes.
stuff, it's always the
villains. Always the villains, yeah.
And so Ted Neely, other than hitting those notes that are incredible, is pretty much just vanilla and uninteresting.
Absolutely.
But man, the Judas and the guy singing Simon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just got chills even thinking about it, which is my big theater nerd. But his performance vocally on its own is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But as an actor, when you watch it, there's something otherworldly that is happening with him that really and that then this was the first time that I really watched it as a, OK, these kids arrive. In a bus.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And we read the same source material. So you know that Tim Rice intended to make it like Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
He wanted to spend $1 billion on it.
Yeah.
And make it huge. And Norman Jewison, fucking genius.
Amazing.
Says, we'll do this with 35 people in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. Who can fit on the bus? That's who we're doing it with.
Exactly.
Yep.
And they do this thing that is not even really logical. They're getting off the bus to do the show, and yet Judas and Jesus are still in character, already in character, but no one else is.
Right, right.
Which is really interesting. I mean, really interesting.
Yeah.
Not like an easy idea to get, like a really hard idea to get.
Yeah.
You know, everybody gets off the bus in character. Not that hard an idea to get.
Mm-mm.
Everybody gets off the bus just totally casual, and Jesus, you know, is wearing surf shorts. Not that hard to get that idea.
Yeah.
But that idea of breaking it up.
Yeah.
And then I realized that in Jesus Christ Superstar, Jesus Christ does precisely, this is the writing now, not the acting,
mm-hmm.
does precisely two supernatural events. Only two. One,
mm-hmm.
he predicts that Judas will betray him.
Yes.
When he knows Judas's entire character, and doesn't seem like a miracle to me. Two, he thinks that Peter will deny him three times. Also not a hard guess for a man to make.
Yeah.
Not a hard guess. Yeah, you're the asshole that's going to fucking turn me in.
Yeah, right.
You know, and
right.
you won't grow a ball sack and stand up for me. That's all Jesus says.
Yeah.
And when he is prompted and pushed to turn water into wine, he doesn't even cure people.
No, he
they
doesn't.
They put 30 people around him, lepers and
leopards,
shit.
He's trying to.
And he just gets all.
It's too many of you. Get away.
It's icky.
Yeah.
And he's
I can't
very,
do it.
Yeah. Very passive aggressive for the whole thing.
Yeah. That's like if you watch me pee. Like, don't watch me pee. I can't pee if you watch me pee. I can't heal you if you're all looking at me. Stop.
Jesus is simply pee shy.
He's just pee shy.
That's all he wrote in his notes of the script. Ted Neely wrote pee shy.
Pee shy, yeah.
Incidentally, I have a friend who peed next to Ted Neely.
What?
Yes.
Ted Neely pee?
My friend, Rich Nathanson, went to see a Q&A about Jesus Christ Superstar. Rich Nathanson and Stephen Banks were knee-deep in their own cum that I liked a musical.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, these floodgates opened with stories they wanted to tell me that I would just say, you guys keep talking.
That's fine. I'm good.
I'm good. Yeah.
But was this one of the stories?
Yeah. He went to a Q&A that Ted Neely was speaking.
Yeah.
And during the movie, he had to pee. He went into the men's room, and at the next urinal was Ted Neely, who said to him, because this is the only joke Ted Neely probably makes, versions of this. He said, probably never thought you'd see Jesus pee, huh? And Rich Nathanson said, I'm just waiting for you to turn the urine into wine.
That's where I would have gone, yep.
That's a joke. Yep. And Ted Neely laughed a lot, and they went back
peed
in.
Peed all over the wall, and then they went back in.
He drew a little dove in his pee.
Yeah.
So I believe that this movie is entirely in sync with my theological view. Jesus is said to be just one of the nuts doing this shit, which we know from archaeology, he's only one of the nuts doing this shit.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that it was a political movement that was trying to ride on lying to the Jews about the new Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that the Romans were very reluctant to interact with this fucking nut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, prosecuting Trump, and it's kind of like Charlie Manson.
Yeah.
Shut up. Don't start saying weird shit. We're talking to you.
Yeah.
We'll give you an easy sentence if you just shut the fuck up.
Trying to just let you.
Yeah. Help us help you. Yeah, exactly.
Stop talking.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But here is my analysis why I couldn't realize that at the time. Okay. Jesus Christ Superstar, I believe, came out in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 68 or 69. But it came out earlier by a lot than the movie. Mm-hmm. Movie was 73.
Yeah.
73, let's not use the term graduate, but I got out of high school in 73. So when the album came out, I would have been the end of junior high. And at the end of junior high, I was still a Christian.
Oh.
The end of junior high, I was a member of the First Congregationalist Church of Greenfield, Massachusetts, or as we called it, First Congo. Everybody abbreviated it that way. And I was, because my parents had made a deal with me that if I went to youth group on Sunday afternoon, I didn't have to go to church on Sunday morning. Had to go to one of the two. So I was already a hippie, and we had a pastor who was, I still think, was one of the most terrific people in my life. You know, people often say to me about atheism, boy, Christians must have treated you really badly if you had to feel like this. And I say, au contraire, because I sometimes speak French. I say, au contraire, I was actually treated so well by Christians, that's why I turned into an atheist. That's what gave me the optimism and the not needing this, because people were so good to me. The pastor was amazing.
Yeah.
So when Jesus Christ Superstar came out, I brought it into the youth group for us to talk about and analyze, because I had, within a week, memorized every word of it.
Oh, wow.
And I made the argument to the youth group and to the pastor that Jesus Christ Superstar was actually very, very religious. Now, my 14-year-old self made that argument, and my 68-year-old self remembered that argument and believed it.
Right.
Right? So yeah. I was still thinking that this was some sort of Jesus freak thing, which, by the way, in all the advertisement, they always tried to spin it that it wasn't blasphemous. Motherfucker, this is blasphemous.
Yeah.
Absolutely blasphemous.
Yeah.
He's just a man.
Yeah.
They say over and over again.
He's just a man. Yeah. I'm trying to help you. Judas is just trying to help him.
He's trying to help the political movement, which was absolutely of oppressed people.
Yep.
He's trying to do everything right.
Yeah.
And his arguments that he makes all the way through are really, really good.
Valid, 100%.
You'll help the people do this right. What the fuck is wrong with you, Jesus?
When we started it, this was one thing, and now it's this. It's all about you. We can't have it be all about you.
No, this has got to be helping people.
Yeah.
You know, and even
all this food, all this stuff, we could be giving it away.
Exactly. Yeah. And even when he gets the 30 pieces of silver, it's like, well, I could use this to help people.
Yeah.
You know, and he comes in and a prostitute is washing Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say the prostitute's out of line.
No, he says,
don't waste the oil.
Yeah. He actually says, it's not that I object to her profession. I don't object to it.
The actual line.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, this is part of the message. We're confusing people.
Yeah. And if you'd come today, you would have reached a whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. Don't get me wrong.
Don't you get me wrong. Yeah.
You know. And what's the guy's name who plays Jesus? I mean, plays Judas. Sings his fucking ass off.
He's unbelievable.
And acts it beautifully. And Ted Neely, as a passive-aggressive wimp who's lost his way, does a fine job.
Well, all he has to do, as you say, is be vanilla. He just has to stand there.
Yeah.
I mean, and he really does. When they start flashing the pictures of Jesus, he really does look like all the pictures of Jesus.
What they pretended
Jesus to look like. The pretend Jesus, the very white pretend Jesus that they wanted him to look like.
How'd he get there? We don't know.
With eyes not quite. It's like the facial structure of somebody here, like, he's beautiful, but it's weird.
Yeah, because God's his dad.
Yeah.
And in the original album, you know, the rock snobs, which I know a few of them.
Uh-huh.
The essential belief among the rock snobs who think that Jesus Christ Superstar is a good rock record but can't admit it because it's Andrew Lloyd Webber who sucks.
Yeah.
It's the Grease Band. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It's the Grease Band. It's Joe Cocker's band.
I did not know that.
So the
that,
band
which makes
on,
sense now.
On the album Jesus Christ Superstar is a great band.
Yeah.
So we would say, well, you know, it's a great band. We love that music,
but it's not
Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's the Grease Band, which of course is also a lie.
Yeah.
Because the Grease Band did not go, oh, I get a good idea for this tune instead of the one that's written.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a killer rhythm section. By the way, it's also great in Jesus Christ Superstar, the movie, that I think the bass player, and I haven't been able to find this anywhere, but I believe the bass player was blowing the sound mixer. Because he is, you realize how hot the bass player is?
Oh, yeah.
He is so hot in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Carl Anderson.
Carl Anderson.
Carl Anderson.
That's it. Carl Anderson.
Carl Anderson. And let's talk about crazy, dirty hippie chicks. I tell you.
Yeah.
The chorus women.
Yeah.
In Jesus Christ Superstar,
yeah,
more attractive than Scarlett Johansson. Every one of them.
Are you saying that because you love Scarlett Johansson?
I'm just saying, why did we lose how to be sexy?
Well,
no one is more turned on by Brad Pitt than me. But every man in that sexier than Brad Pitt?
That's what I was just going to say. You watch, especially, of course, I love it when you really get to see them be dirty hippies, right? So after he's, before he turns the tables, or I'm forgetting the song, but where they're all in the dirt and they're rolling around.
But you're made up of dead of thieves!
Yeah.
Get out! Yeah, that one. When he goes way high.
Yeah.
It's like when Jesus becomes a parakeet. He just yells. He yells.
Well, that's the other miracle you forgot that he did. He becomes turns into a parakeet.
Talk to us about the small bird moment.
Yeah. But
I want to hear Jimmy Fallon. And he became a small bird.
A small bird.
Very small bird. Fit in a little cage.
And it just comes out of the pocket. And then when he goes to take him to see, it's not Pilate, the other one.
Caiaphas?
No, where he's the Herod. So you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ.
And he does
Christ.
Nothing. Does jack shit.
Nothing. Nothing at all. But all of them dancing around and that very hippie-like, and those outfits.
And Zero Mostel's son.
Is that Zero Mostel's son?
Yes, it is. Not the best singer in the movie.
No. I literally was watching it going like, I'm curious because not even that great comedically, right? Just kind of.
I think they just thought, boy, if Zero Mostel were younger, we'd sure like him in it.
We'd love him in it. So let's do this. This will work.
We'll give Mel Blanc's son to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But. What's nice is they really do have such a phenomenal ensemble that he can kind of stand around and do nothing, and it's all gorgeous around him.
And they fix the singing with the, like we've seen that in talentless people.
Yeah.
I thought it was shot beautifully.
Yeah.
I thought the wardrobe was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I thought that the cinematography was beautiful. And the concept of We'll do this as a group of outsiders doing a play in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Really great. And I also love the voice of Caiaphas and the two guys.
Yeah.
The high-low thing.
Oh, I do. I love that too.
Yeah.
I have always loved.
It's a good tune.
Yeah. And I was saying to Matt, the idea that, you know, now we have all these shots with the drones and the whatever. But anything that was shot from overhead in the 70s is a helicopter?
Or a very, very wide lens with a jib.
With a jib.
And I'm telling you, you carry the jib into the middle of that fucking desert.
Right. Right. And shoot so that you're not seeing the jib.
And
right?
All the scenes on the grass and stuff.
Yeah.
Where they bring in AstroTurf.
Yeah. In the middle of the desert.
They worked really hard and made something that is, I believe, intellectually completely sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe it's also, it's not musical comedy. It is an opera.
It is an opera.
I believe there's a little bit of Sprechzimmer Jesus does.
Yeah.
But couldn't really be called dialogue.
No. And that was, it's, my sons came in while I was watching and said, this sounds sad. And I thought, I should have them watch this because it's really well done and it's really interesting. But my youngest son's saying, they're not talking at all. They're not talking. Yeah. No, that's an opera. We're they don't talk at all.
Yeah.
It's musical.
It's very, very good.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think I've been that gobsmacked in years by a piece of art. Just going, oh, you know, and we're still making jokes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But our hearts not in it.
And maybe that was Jesus's miracle along.
It was. Maybe that's the other one.
Yeah.
Judas will betray me.
Peter denies me.
Peter's a wimp.
I turn into a parakeet.
Boy, he sings high.
Wow. Yeah. But so does Judas.
Yeah, Judas has incredible range.
Yeah. And to fly Judas my other one of my favorites is, you know, hanging yourself, committing suicide. What a, you know, that's a sin, that whatever. But then he flies in on the crane from heaven. So I enjoy this moment as well. And then that is also such a sexy
shot of him hanging,
yep.
Pull back, and they do another whole scene there.
Yeah.
And they don't change the shot.
Yeah.
There were, you know, I kept saying the walkie-talkie next to Jesus' ass is going, okay, we're not on it anymore.
Yeah.
Because he's holding these poses.
He says, yeah.
And the camera pans really slowly off him.
Yeah.
And you want the second AD to go, you're clear.
You're clear. Yeah.
Who's hiding behind the rock?
Yeah. You're clear. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Thanks.
Oh, that was really, it took a lot
of
time.
But Ted Neely is still doing Jesus Christ Superstar, right?
I believe so.
And they've done a slight rewrite that Jesus lives to be 78.
What?
No, I just, how does Ted Neely play Jesus when he supposedly died at 33?
Oh, it's the theater, darling. You can, anyone could look young from the stage, as long as it's not immersive.
But Norman Jewison finishes Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
And says, okay, I'll do Jesus Christ Superstar.
I'll do Jesus Christ Superstar. Jewison, which...
the name is right there.
He's absolutely said, you know, if I'm going to do anything with this name, I'm going to do Fiddler and then Superstar.
And the critics come out.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church comes out. Everybody comes out.
Yeah.
And says, this is atheist. This is subversive. This is horrible. And they just hang tough.
Yeah.
No, this is just a modern way to bring the gospel to children.
Yeah.
And we can tell this whole story differently. Is it possible my whole philosophy comes entirely from Jesus Christ Superstar? I left the church a year later.
I was just going to say, because 14-year-old you brought it to the church as a, no, this is really the gospel.
And then understood it a little more.
Yeah.
And there you've got a, you
then
know.
Then said, now that I'm thinking about it.
An atheist magician. You know, you've got, you know, 55 years later.
Yeah.
Catholic Church did the same thing with Life of Brian, Sight Unseen.
Yeah. Life of Brian, also a little bit blasphemous. You know, the original.
But it's not at
it's,
all.
It's not?
Because they're attacking the way people
treat
right. it.
That's right. Oh, they're yeah. also, it's yeah. not, although the original title. Do you know the original title for Life of Brian that Eric Idle had suggested?
No.
Jesus Christ, Lust for Power.
Oh.
That was the working title.
And that, you know, now maybe would have been okay.
Yeah.
But then certainly his movie would not have been seen anywhere.
Well, George Harrison had to pay for it, you know.
No, I didn't know.
Did you know this? They were working on Life of Brian.
Uh-huh.
And all the backers pulled out. And because of, was it the Ruddles? Was it that early? I don't know. I don't know that part of it. But George Harrison was a huge, huge Monty Python fan. And they told him they were working this movie. They told him they lost the funding. And then the way every side tells the story, 4 days later, George Harrison calls up and goes, I'll put in all the money for you to finish Life of Brian. And they said, you know, you're probably not going to make it back, money back. And George Harrison said, well, is there any other way for me to see it? Because I just want to see it.
It's the most expensive movie ticket has ever been.
No, he made a fucking ton.
Yeah, yeah.
He made hand over fist.
Yeah.
When he bought it.
But when he bought it, it was, that's, yeah.
And George Harrison just made Life
just
of Brian.
Just made Life of Brian.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Put the money in. And also what I love is Graham.
Chapman.
Chapman. Who plays Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know, but he was he was an MD, he was a doctor, medical doctor. His degree was in medicine, and you have to have a medic on the set.
So that for money big movie, having him on the
so set. They save money by saying Graham Chapman would be the medic, which he was on all the Monty Python movies, all of them. So there is a great shot you can find on the web of Graham Chapman in his Jesus Christ crown of thorns with the blood coming down with the first aid kit next to him fixing a scratch on someone's leg.
Oh,
he's just putting the antiseptic on it, putting the bandage on it.
Oh, that's really great.
And then he's back up on the cross.
Oh, that's good.
And you know, hammered the whole time.
And of course he was hammered
the
whole
time. Yeah.
Monty Python included a doctor and two lawyers, I think. They were very well-educated group.
Yeah.
Except for Eric Idle, but yes.
Yeah.
Eric Idle always points that out. Yeah, they were the smart ones,
mm-hmm.
but they all wanted me in their sketches because they were funnier.
Funnier when I'm in them, yeah.
He's kind of right.
But I would tell the Apple sisters all the time. I'm kidding.
Anyway,
Anyway.
But there's a musical that I love. So now we have a list that includes Assassins.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ Superstar and The Music Man.
Oh.
I like those three musicals.
Okay.
Although I never saw Jesus Christ Superstar as a show. I know every high school in the world did it, but.
Yeah. Well, and in the early 2000s, had I moved there? I think I had just moved to New York and it was on Broadway. And I did like a standing room ticket, you know, last minute, got in there. And I left at intermission, which I usually, it's like, you know, I'm a musical theater nerd. I don't leave at intermission. I stay for the whole piece.
And you didn't like
it. I was really upset. I was really disappointed. I just was like, no.
Now I got to ask you another question, because we couldn't help. We had some help from Apple TV too, but we also couldn't help but think on our own if Apple TV hadn't thought for us. What about Hair?
What about Hair?
That was supposed to be a sucky movie.
Right.
Treat Williams and who is it? Beverly D'Angelo.
Yep.
Is that good? Have you seen the movie of Hair?
I've never seen the movie of Hair.
See, I'd like the soundtrack because I was the right age.
So, yeah. So maybe we should watch Hair.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll also tell you that my feeling that I'd like very much to be a cult leader was reinforced by seeing Jesus Christ Superstar. Yeah, I was thinking, that's the way to be surrounded by dirty hippie chicks.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you are Charlie Manson or whether you're, what was it, the Source that was in L.A.
Uh-huh.
Or whether you are Jesus Christ. I think it's a pretty good gig. I mean, you're going to end up in jail.
In jail, dead, something.
Yeah. But I'm 68.
But maybe, maybe that's what you really want.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, let's talk a little bit. I think I've told this story before, but you know, I was friends with Stephen Sondheim.
I don't think you told me that.
Okay. Well, we had emails exchanged.
Oh.
Because Stephen Sondheim and I were talking, and I said to him, I hate musicals.
Oh.
And he said to me, I hate Bob Dylan.
Oh.
So we sent back, I would send him, listen to this Dylan.
Yeah.
And he would send me, listen to this musical.
Okay.
And we would go back and forth. And unfortunately, I said to him, one of the things I really dislike about musicals is the voices sound so funny to me. They sound so unnatural. And he answered me with one word, Dylan.
And yes.
I went, oh.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. And I got my counterargument, which I'll think of soon. But because I saw Assassins, and Sondheim had come to see our show several times. And, you know, of course, he couldn't be more royalty in New York.
Yeah,
we were very flattered. He loved our show, very flattered. He took us out to dinner. Ugh, and then
that is so cool.
I had seen Sweeney Todd. And I saw Sweeney Todd. Everybody goes, oh, you didn't see a good production. I saw it with Caribou. What's his name?
Yeah.
Caribou.
Uh-huh.
Caribou and the Detective. Who are they? Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury.
Len Caribou.
Len Caribou. Very good, Penn.
I saw them.
Okay. Well, then.
Original production.
Then arguably the best production.
Hated it. I saw Evita. Hated it.
Okay.
I saw Les Mis. Hated it. So I'm out with, I mean, I know he didn't write those other two.
I was just going to say, just so you know.
I know that, but I'm just saying, so I'm out with Stephen Sondheim, right? And we talk and have a really good time. But during the whole thing, we were talking about Ricky Jay and magic and da-da-da-da-da. But we never go into the area of musicals because Teller and I don't like them. And we're having, you know, meatballs with Sondheim.
Yeah. Could be the title of the book.
Which we had in New York. We've been out with them, probably had dinner with them three or four times. I don't want to exaggerate my relationship with Sondheim. But four times for dinner is
that's
knowing somebody.
That's knowing somebody.
So After,
that's friendly.
Like the first time having meatballs with Sondheim, I saw Assassins. I saw Assassins in a workshop production when Desert Storm was hitting, which is kind of what killed it. But I saw it like, I had to go up three floors to see it. Yeah. I had to go up three floors. And there was a piano. And there are people just doing
it. Just so you know, it sounds, that sounds like the dreamiest way to see it for me.
It killed me.
Yeah.
I loved it. I could not love Assassins more. And the amazing thing is, if you see a, and forgive me for saying this, whoever was in it, but they'll never find out. Even seeing a shitty production in Vegas, it's still great.
Yeah.
It's really great. And it turns the musical inside out, because the musical's, the American musical's basic form is, if you live your dream, you'll be okay.
Yes.
And he just takes the idea, my dream is to kill the president. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So the next day, I was very, very happy. Because now I could talk to Sondheim.
Yeah.
And I actually liked something.
Yeah.
I went to see it, but he wasn't there. Then I didn't see him in person.
I was just going to say, and it was his, so yeah. Even better.
So I call him up. I hadn't ever told him I hated musicals. Never told him that. Just never mentioned it.
Yeah.
Called him up. Hey, Steven, man, Ben, hey, I saw Assassins. Oh, yeah, I wasn't there. I was supposed to be at all the, but I didn't get to be. Yeah, yeah, man. And then I talked for 20 minutes about how great Assassins is. And I'm feeling 12 feet tall and bulletproof because I finally get to say this complimentary stuff.
Yeah.
I finished talking and Sondheim goes, I wrote some other stuff people think is okay. Completely saw through everything.
Yeah.
Completely understood everything. I've never been so shut down in my life. He said, you might like Pacific Overtures. You probably wouldn't like Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't like, but I think Pacific Overtures and Assassins actually have stuff in it you could get.
Yeah.
I mean, could not have understood everything more.
Just saw right through you.
Just a complete and utter genius. Genius. And this all ties together because Neil Patrick Harris, back when he was Doogie Howser, was a big fan of ours. Okay. And we were hanging out. He's like 14, right? And he comes up to visit. And I say, let me play you something. And I play him Assassins. Okay?
Get out of here.
So I go to see Assassins on Broadway with Neil Patrick Harris. I hadn't talked to him or anything.
Yeah.
And the playbill says, I'm playing the part of Lee Harvey Oswald because Penn Jillette played me Assassins when I was 14.
Wow.
And I had no idea that was going to happen. And I don't know if you know that production. That production did one of the most perfect theatrical things I've ever seen.
I don't know. I didn't ever get to see that production.
Oh,
but I do have one thing to say really fast.
Go.
Careful the things you say. Children will listen.
I know. I know. Do Assassins.
Well,
I also said, he had me write a chapter of his book. And I also said, you were 14. I played you a musical. Probably turned you gay.
Yeah.
I'm probably responsible for that.
You're welcome.
He's happy with that.
Yeah.
Lee Harvey Oswald is always wearing the classic tee.
Yeah.
You know, classic white t-shirt. And they freeze the production and project the Zapruder film on his chest.
Wow. Again, this is my second little
show moment.
He's
just standing there in a white t-shirt. And all of a sudden it goes dark and Zapruder film across his chest.
That's.
I said to Neil Patrick Harris, that's pretty great. He goes, no, you got to stand still. Because you know, after you're doing 8 shows a week for 4 weeks, all you're thinking about is, I got to stand still. Because the stage manager has said to you,
you got
to
stand still.
Yeah,
do you know who directed that production?
I don't know, but they were good.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Joe Mantello directed Assassins.
Ah.
Oh.
Hard to direct it back. So we would send stuff back and forth. And he never got to like Dylan, and I never really got to like musicals.
Anything else, yeah.
But I wish I could tell him.
Yeah.
And how far on the spectrum can you be from Cats?
Well, Lloyd Webber had written a I need a service animal on the plane. Did you see this?
Oh, no.
That he had written, he needed this dog, a service dog, on the plane, and they said, well, you have to give us a reason why. And he wrote a full paragraph on how terrible the movie Cats was, and that once he saw Cats in the movie theater, he needed a service animal. He needed a dog.
But so, Cats on Broadway.
Well, I mean, I'm not in disagreement with you at all, but he said that the movie ruined his musical.
Well, you know, this made me laugh a lot. We were doing our show off Broadway, a Midwest couple. As you know, I was very accessible after the show and so on. Mm-hmm. Came over to me and said, well, we really liked the show. Our friend Paul Newman, sent us to the show. I grew up with Paul. And every time I come to New York, he helps us out getting tickets and stuff. So he bought us the tickets to the show tonight, and we really liked it. You know, we were coming into town, and I called Paul and said, we want to see Cats. Can you set that up? And he said, no, you're going to see Penn and Teller. And we said, no, we really want to see Cats. And he said, you're not going to see Cats. You're going to see Penn and Teller. And he said, we were really kind of very much wanting to see Cats. And Paul would not let us see Cats. He'd only let us see Penn and Teller. And he bought us the tickets and set us here. And I said, well, thank you very much. Paul's been very kind to us. Yeah. And then the woman who hadn't said anything said, I'd still like to see Cats.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My mom and dad wanted to see Cats.
Well,
so I took them and just could not figure out
what was happening.
Why cats were on spaceships.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I'm sure Matt has said this story on here, but
yes.
Our good friend Rick Bisogno, who's crawling around.
I've not only heard that story, I've told that story because it sums up everything. But yeah. We have not heard it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is now, secondhand.
Yeah.
We've only heard it fourth. Third and fourth. So tell
us.
So
here's secondhand. Is Rick Pisano, you know, in the opening, they're crawling around as cats in the aisle. And he came up to this woman who was terrified and just jumped out of it. Sir, you are a grown man. And he really said at that moment he had to think about what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah, why are you dressed like that?
What am I?
I saw Guys and Dolls with Nathan Lane.
Uh-huh.
Hated it.
Hmm.
I saw Tommy
sitting
next to John Entwistle and Roger Daltrey. Hated it. Almost as much as them.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck is wrong with Pete? And Roger Daltrey said afterwards, sitting with me and watching this version of Tommy is a little like going with you to see Siegfried and Roy, isn't it? I was given seats to Good Things.
Yeah.
I saw Patti LuPone in Good Things, and I like Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
I finally saw Sweeney Todd in that stripped-down version.
Yeah, where they play their own instruments.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I learned one thing from. Mm-hmm. If you have someone who's an excellent singer,
mm-hmm.
but can't play an instrument,
mm-hmm.
and you want them to play an instrument,
mm-hmm.
before you give them triangle, find out how good their time is. Because Patti LuPone was hitting the triangle just slightly out of time.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like Ray Charles,
yeah.
They measured his finger snaps. They're within a hundredth of a millisecond. Correct.
Yeah.
Patti LuPone, no.
Not so much.
No.
And it's the rhythm instrument. She needs to have
cuts
the
through.
Rhythm.
That's
yeah.
what, when the triangle plays,
yeah.
it's on a fucking beat.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
might be on three or, it's going to be on one,
yeah.
but it might be on three or four.
You almost wish they gave her like a rubber one and just had somebody else in the pit yeah. somewhere.
But that was really good.
Yeah.
So
that's the one that we saw and we liked that one. And a lot of people didn't like that one.
I saw one with scaffoldings and a detective and a caribou running around.
That's everybody else's favorite. Yeah.
And I do like The Music Man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated that you like The Music Man.
Maybe because it was I believe The Music Man, and this is such a country bumpkin story to tell.
Yeah.
I believe it's the first live show I ever saw.
Oh.
And I was about 12.
Well, that makes sense.
And it was in Houston.
And was it?
Because that's a big city compared to Greenfield.
Yeah, was it a big production?
I've tried to look online.
Yeah.
And the best I can tell is it was, you know, it would have been, I would have been 10 or 12, so 65, 66. It was a touring Broadway show.
So it was a touring company.
It was a serious professional production.
I do love that original cast recording of The Music Man.
It's really, but have you heard the, what's his name, playing piano, doing all the parts himself?
No.
What's his name? Meredith Wilson.
Yeah.
They have put out Meredith Wilson's audition, essentially backer's tape. Where he sings, he and his wife, he plays piano and they sing every song.
Really?
And if you want Charm and you also want a punk version.
Yeah.
A Music Man.
Yeah.
It's there.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
And I don't think the word carrion in Music Man is one of the truly funny things in theater. I could lie on your floor unnoticed to my body had turned to carrion. Marion. With melisma on it.
Yeah.
On carrion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Really clever. Really
that is
good.
Very clever.
And, you know, Good Night by Someone and 76 Trombones, having the exact same melody but different rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Really funny and smart.
Yep.
And, you know, Robert Preston does a wonderful performance.
Yeah.
And Opie.
And Opie.
Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Who is in the movie The Music Man. This is so weird. I did not notice this till I watched The Music Man 5 years ago. But I must have noticed it at the time. Opie in the movie is my age. Strangely enough, Ron Howard is still my age.
But I guess that's how math works.
Yeah. Ron Howard's within a year of my age.
Interesting. So,
but it's weirder than that. And Marion is his sister, right?
Right.
And there's no other siblings. And she's 23 years older than him.
Oh.
I have one sibling, my sister. She's 23 years old.
23 years older.
And I would have seen that with my sister. And I don't know how we couldn't have noticed that. I mean, I'm sure we did.
I was just going to say.
I just didn't remember it.
Probably you did. And maybe that also plays into your love of it a little bit.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
It could be nostalgia.
Yeah.
It could be very much being nostalgia.
Yeah.
Guys and Dolls, no.
No.
No nostalgia.
You know, I noticed another musical not on your list that you also did see me in, which is Jersey Boys.
Well, Jersey Boys is not a musical. Jersey Boys is a jukebox, right?
It is. It's almost more of a review.
Yeah.
But
so yeah, I was gonna bring that up, but that's just the Four Seasons music. And I believe that's a different thing.
No, and it's more their
I've never saw Mamma Mia. I mean, is that a musical or is
it is? Well, you're right. Is it because it's the music of ABBA, but with a story? So whereas Jersey Boys is the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Mamma Mia is just a story that they've put on the music.
The true American musical.
Yeah.
The music is written for the American music.
Right. The story
so
and the music.
I also don't count Girl from the North Country.
Oh,
which is the rework of the Bob Dylan stuff.
Dylan, yeah.
I just don't think that's what an American, you know.
It's a fantasy form.
Yeah.
That voice.
But
is
we the USA, American musical, stand up comedy, jazz, blues, we're done. That's all we really have given to the world. Everything else is made of plastic.
Yeah.
But we did do those things. So it seems for the American musical form, I think you want to be respectful.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think. I think you want to have that. I even think that Live Your Dreams is also
Follow Your Dreams.
Like rebellion is built into rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Like being a loser is built into country.
Mm-hmm.
Like bragging is built into rap.
Yeah.
I think that's built into the musical.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, attaining your dreams, maybe in unexpected ways.
Something also that you mentioned that I think you liked about Superstar is that those vocals are not your traditional theater. None of them are traditional
theater.
They
do sing it rock and roll.
They all sing it rock and roll.
It's not quite rock and roll because the instrumentation is not rock and roll.
Yeah.
But the bass player sure is rock and roll. Really, really got us laughing. I'm going, this is really good. And Josie says, you think because it's been a 30-minute bass solo?
I was just going to say, I love that you noticed how well you noticed the bass solo. Yeah.
The guy's all over the place.
Yeah.
And no idea that he's playing bass. He believes he's playing lead.
Judas is almost funk.
Judas is, yeah.
And Eileen, the Mary, her voice.
Elliman.
Yeah.
Yvonne Elliman.
Yvonne, thank you. Hers is almost folk. It's more.
But whenever I would play with Stephen Banks, we would do our two-person shows, Stephen Banks and Ben Gillette, I would always sing I Don't Know How to Love Him. Because it always made me laugh so much. But it was just shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. Well, I was shocked that
Did you ever perform in Jesus Christ Superstar?
Never.
Did you ever perform in Sweeney Todd?
Never.
Now, Teller wouldn't let me see Into the Woods.
He wouldn't let you see it?
No. He said, if you see Into the Woods, you'll kill yourself. He said, you can't go.
Well, I...
Because Teller went, because they wanted to do special effects for it.
Oh.
No.
So, Into the Woods for me was interesting because I saw it when I was a teenager. And I loved the first act and I hated the second act. And I just recently saw it with my son. And I thought the first act was fine and I loved the second act.
Things can change.
And I think that it's the storytelling of how everything in the first act is, you know, a fairy tale with a happy ending. And the second act is more what real life really is.
And I saw the movie recently. I think I was forced by my wife.
Yeah.
Probably. And I don't remember anything about it except not liking it.
I didn't love the movie. And not, again, like not necessarily the fault of any of the performers, but I felt when you try to overproduce, which is what Jesus Christ Superstar didn't do, I think you lose a lot of elements.
Yeah, Norman Jewison just said, this is a rock opera.
Yeah.
We should not beef it up.
Yeah.
We should strip it down.
Let's not make Passion of the Christ. Let's just do...
That's a really hard idea to get.
Yeah.
That's a really hard idea to get.
And how many times on set can you imagine him saying like, nope, we're just doing this thing. Yeah. It's just this.
Prop department, get the fucking shit out of there. Nope.
I was looking at the hats and like, are those plastic? Are those blow up? What are those?
Well, I believe, you can learn a lot. I believe that the bass player was blowing the sound designer.
Okay.
And I do believe that the wardrobe person must have been fucking Norman Jewison.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is held back.
Yeah.
But she's just told, sure.
Yeah.
You want a 3-foot hat?
You got it. Yeah.
You want a fringe jacket, no shirt, and all the men?
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
And
how much time do we need to put those jewels on the face? We've got it. All the time you need.
On top of everything else, we haven't even mentioned this. Choreography.
Oh. Well,
can you imagine in the desert?
So, like I said, the number I'm watching and watching them roll around on the dirt and thinking, how many times did we do this number? How many times do we have to shoot this? How many cameras are here? And then it's not just one day. It's got to be over a few days, right? And then now we have union rules that probably wouldn't have allowed. And I was also thinking how that is very Beyonce's music video of Girls Who Run the World is so similar to all of that.
And you're also thinking how happy Carl was to look at the Carl sheet and go, oh, a dance number I'm not in is good.
Oh, yeah.
They were really tired.
Yeah.
And I tell you, this is a little known fact. It was the first place Gatorade was used. Can you imagine how dehydrated they were?
No. No. Where?
And Simon. Of course you talk about the leads, but that Simon sings and acts his fucking ass off.
And is dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does everything.
Yeah, does it all. Yeah. another musical that you probably don't care for, but the musical Pippin, which was directed and choreographed by Bob Fosse in the 70s. But
I also liked All That Jazz, the movie.
Oh, I loved All That Jazz, the movie.
But Pippin, I never even considered seeing.
So my mom and dad worked on Fosse's version of Pippin, and my mom was his dance captain on the road.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. As far as we know, they did not have a relationship. But
seems unlikely.
I know. But when
extraordinary
you talk
claims.
To my mom, she is naive enough that when I talk to her and try to ask her more and more questions, she said it took me a while to realize what was happening around me and who, when these people showed up that weren't great and why they were there and, oh, this is what's happening.
She's not looking at Gwen, is she, when she says that?
No. No. But the essence of that show is that there's this traveling troupe of of Manson-like performers who come into a town and try to take a guy and show him what, you know, the joys, the beauty, the sex, the all of this of life, and then have him kill himself at the end. And that's what they do. They're traveling.
Well, you just sold it very well. The advertisements didn't.
Yeah.
I also saw Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But I saw a high school production.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Which is really sad. Of course, I did do that in high school.
But we haven't talked about the worst musical of all time.
Oh, God.
The Producers.
Oh.
Opening night, I was there.
Oh. But I can't even. So my Aunt Kathy, also Grandma Ruby's daughter, was the company manager of that production. And I think, you know, that production did very well for my Aunt Kathy. So I never speak too terribly of that production. But
oof. I mean, how could, I mean, this is just, I'm wrong, right? I mean, I have to be wrong. Because I can't say Mel Brooks didn't understand the original producers. He had to.
Yeah.
It's exactly why I'm wrong about Love. I think Love in Town misrepresents the Beatles.
I agree.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Ringo Starr, Yoko, and the woman who's George Harrison's widow, whose name we always forget, all love it.
Mm-hmm. And help produce it and are 100% on board.
I'm wrong.
Well,
I have to be wrong. How can Paul McCartney know less about the Beatles than me?
Well, maybe in another, 50 years, you'll change your
tune?
Right,
I'll go and see Love and go, oh, yeah!
I get it now. Yeah.
He's actually Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Neither the Producers nor Love have actual hippie chicks in them.
Yeah.
There it is. That's
There's no
of
hippie
it.
Chicks.
Well, Love tries to have hippie chicks, but you're right. They're not true hippie chicks.
But
they're not dirty hippie
chicks. They're bangly.
Chicks.
I also shouldn't say, because this is really not correct, I shouldn't say hippie chicks. It's hippies. Because the men in Jesus Christ Superstar are just as sexy.
Yes.
Absolutely. And all of them bare-chested and all of them running around.
Yeah.
There's a great deal of sexiness.
There is. You're absolutely right.
So
the sexiness
I say
is
that
abound.
Because I'm used to, you know, when I was younger and uptight about that, you're only supposed to say you like the women.
Right.
That's no longer. It's not what I felt then.
Right.
But I lied about it. And it's not what I feel now. It's just habit.
Well, and I...
So when I'm a cult leader, believe me, part of the criminal charges will be brought by men. Do you understand that?
Well, this is maybe how we find getting canceled someday, right? We got it.
Kevin
Spacey
showed
the cult leader.
You can get canceled without having anything to do with women.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey demonstrated that.
But then, you know, not convicted, so not canceled all the way. I don't know.
Canceled, not convicted.
Canceled, not convicted.
Because canceled doesn't mean convicted.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Al Franken.
Right.
Not canceled, convicted of anything.
Not convicted.
Of anything.
Almost self-canceled, though, Al Franken.
Yeah.
More self-canceled. Maybe that's what you want to look at.
Kind of very, very bad chess players trying to play against the Republicans.
Yep.
Here's what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll show how honest we are.
Yeah.
That works in politics really often.
Always
works.
Yeah. Being honest has paid off two times? Two times next to never. Yeah.
Have you talked to him about that?
Al Franken?
Yeah.
No.
Because I don't think that played a role in his decision.
What?
That's what members of the party wanted him to do?
I don't know. The information that I have is that it did. But it's not directly from him.
He made a promise to his electorate that he was going to keep the comedy out of it when he started.
Okay.
It feels to me like it was that.
That's one way to see it. Although, putting your hand 2 inches above a woman whose chest is literally in Kevlar seems like her private parts are well protected.
Well, it seems like
Kevlar. Kevlar. I mean, when we were talking in high school about sex,
yeah,
we had above the shirt, above the bra, below the bra.
Uh-huh.
Kevlar was never mentioned. Above the Kevlar.
You know, and that's a whole new...
And also 2 inches above the
two
Kevlar.
2 inches above... I know.
Kevlar. Air gap Kevlar.
Well, you say, you know, because you were saying, I'm talking about dirty hippie chicks, but I should be saying dirty hippies, period. And I'm the same way where it's like, yeah, hippie chicks. But I was not just watching the chicks.
No, your eyes cover the whole thing.
I'm watching. And
Jesus in the robe, sometimes your eyes wander from him.
Yeah.
I also, although I tried to find funny in this movie, and I could. Thinking of the outtakes of him walking in that robe over rocks is really funny. Because there were some times, when he stepped on the robe on a rock going up a hill, and Jesus went ass over wine. Just
And you hear, ow. the sound guy.
She's in the house of prayer, but ow!
And that's when he turned into a canary. Yeah.
Boy, he gets high.
He does. Yeah.
Now I'm curious, where were you looking with Margaret Qualley and Brad Pitt in the car?
When was this? What movie?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, boy, that's a hard call. But I think I was looking at her ass when they shoot the ass in the foreground, do that whole scene.
Oh,
remember that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yep.
We've got a scene here. Can we keep her ass in the shot?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And
for my dinner with Andre, they could have helped that out by just having her ass in the shot.
Yeah, yeah. For the whole thing. There's a lot of movies that could have been helped out with just her ass in the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Godfather 3.
Into the Woods.
Solved.
Done. Yeah. Oh.
But it also might be, I want to say this too.
Okay.
Because there's confessional going on here.
Yeah. Well, preaching love.
It's very possible. Okay.
Okay.
It's very possible that my innate dislike of musicals is residual, incorrect, never acknowledged, indeed, expressly denied homophobia. Because when I read Let's Talk About Love, the book about Celine Dion, that talks about why rock snobs hate her and why isn't she better than Ramones, written by a rock snob, one of the most brilliant books ever. There's a sentence in there, you know, I was an absolute punk and experimental rock guy. I was Residents, I was Sex Pistols, I was Devo, I was all of that. And I was one of the disco haters. Never even considered listening to disco. Now, one of the Residents loved disco, and that threw me a little bit. But there's a sentence in there that just says, the hatred of disco was nothing but racism and homophobia. And I read that sentence and went,
ouch.
Yeah. I was not homophobic. I was not racist. But did my culture decide that disco was put in a different category than, you know, I was identifying with Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
And disco was being done by different kinds of people.
Yeah.
People who looked different from me.
Yeah.
And the scene in New York were people who looked different from me.
It's interesting that you bring this up because I think about how we at our younger age just fucking know everything.
I know.
And we just rock as
disco is just not,
it's not
artistically viable.
No.
And not, oh, I want to be seen as someone who looks like the Ramones and not someone who looks like, you know, Donna Summers.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Donna Summers is disco. Joey Ramone is punk.
Yeah.
Which one is speaking to me?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to get around that. And I'm wondering if when I, you know, I was a, I loved Bette Midler. Nothing more than I wanted to be gay. Right.
Right.
But some of my self-image was I'm not going to like musicals.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be pro-gay, you know. You couldn't be more pro-gay. You know, Broadway Cares, all of that shit.
Right.
But maybe there's a little part of that Greenfield, Massachusetts with the gun rack in the back of the pickup truck, and which is another thing. Everybody thinks that that rural America image is Southern.
Mm-hmm.
Not Southern. I know you're L.A., so you don't know anything. But
oh, thanks.
But I mean, about about living in America.
Right.
But you know, where...
you're absolutely right.
Where you never have any idea what the people in Greenfield were like.
Never.
But there were gun racks and flannel shirts. And if I showed you pictures of my friends in Greenfield, Massachusetts, and said, where are these people from? You would answer Alabama. You would answer Kentucky. And you wouldn't think Massachusetts, because Massachusetts in your mind is Boston.
Right.
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 And you would never, there's not a time in your entire life, from the moment you were born, it was preordained, you would never drop into Greenfield, Massachusetts. There's nothing that would take you there.
Right.
They're never going to shoot a movie there. They're never going to do a musical.
There's no tours going through Greenfield.
No,
that's
no.
Just, yeah.
But I'm wondering if that's a residual part of that.
Sure.
Is my self-image wasn't able to say. Even though I was not just not homophobic, I was aggressively politically on the other side.
Sure.
I was getting beat up for being on the other side. But that doesn't mean there isn't some cultural homophobia. Right. There.
Well, and
I look back on disco and smart people talk about disco and I go, oh, I missed all of that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was happening.
But and that's also part of this journey, I think, which is lovely that you can kind of look at it and say, like, oh, I wonder. And the nice thing about being an open-minded atheist saying, like, huh, I actually like this Jesus Christ superstar. Maybe I had a little...
How did that happen?
Anti-gay musical hatred without realizing, because it was not going to... It made me... and again, it's like, it doesn't make you homosexual.
No, but...
And you enjoy...
Maybe
so
the word...
Weird,
maybe it's not the word homosexual we're looking for.
Right.
It was a way to not be effeminate.
Ah,
so
yeah.
I'll be in all the gay pride parades.
Yeah.
I'll do all of that.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, if you're wanting to know who I'm like, I'm like Joey Ramone
right.
and John Fogerty.
Yeah.
You know.
And I am not like Lynn Carew.
Yeah.
Caribou.
I'm a different guy than that. You know, and that's not politically homophobic.
No.
It's not personally homophobic.
Uh-uh.
You know, it's not, it's cultural indoctrination.
Yeah.
Homophobic.
Yeah.
Where you're never even making a decision, not even a personal decision. I never have experienced any, you know, I've been to the gay bathhouse in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I have never exhibited the slightest recoiling from any homosexual act or homosexual person.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't want to be seen more as one of the Ramones.
Right.
And I think that that's what I might be dealing with.
Yeah.
I haven't come to terms with that yet. I haven't come to terms with that because although I'm reading about how good and important disco is, still haven't crossed
still
that
haven't
line.
Still haven't crossed over.
Still haven't crossed
well, that line. Well, and I did The Donkey Show, which is a Midsummer Night's Dream told through 70s disco music off-Broadway in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how I got into disco, mm-hmm. right? I didn't really know because I grew up with musical theater because I grew up backstage.
And so David Byrne all, doing yeah. the new disco Philippines thing.
Oh, yeah. The Here Lies Love.
Yeah, that's all disco.
All disco, right? Yeah. So I fell in love with it because it's a moment for me, right? It's mm-hmm. It represents that time in my life and my career and what all that is. So the music for me is more a moment.
But you know what, this book, Let's Talk About Love, mm-hmm. what he makes very clear is, well, first of all, do you know where the term highbrow comes from?
I do not.
It's just racist. It comes from phrenology, the shape of the head.
Uh-huh.
Highbrow meant you were more intelligent, which was just a racial thing. So even the term highbrow, when you say that's lowbrow, it is absolutely, completely, 100% racist. And yet, it's accepted in our society.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, one of the things you're doing with musical taste is you are deciding to broadcast what tribe you're in, right? Mm-hmm. You're telling what kind of person you are, right? And so my musical taste was all the target groups that were coming at me were saying, this is who you want to see yourself as.
Yeah.
And when you let that go, which you can't, of course, do, when you try to let that go and try to listen to kinds of music that you don't like, mm-hmm. to me, it's incredible how guilty it makes me feel. Because I just go, you know, it was really easy for me to go, okay, you love The Clash. Here's Jimmy Rogers. Here's Howlin' Wolf. Here's Muddy Waters. You know, and going forward, we're going to go into the experimental, the Residents, and we'll go further after Clash. We'll go da-da-da-da-da, and to keep going, we're fine. We're fine with Nirvana, and then we go into Green Day, and all that makes a lot of sense because that's all people that look just like me because, mm-hmm. you know, the Howlin' Wolf and stuff, that's just part of the basis of this, but it's all people that look like me.
Yeah.
And you go, but the other people were doing music who didn't look like me and they were good too.
Yeah.
Which you'd think you would learn from Howlin' Wolf. You'd think you would learn that.
Yeah.
Oh, Howlin' Wolf was not popular with non-blacks when he started out.
Yeah.
So maybe we've learned now, but no.
No.
Disco comes along and we haven't.
And we haven't. Yeah.
So. But I wanted to confess because as I was driving over today, I said, I'm going to use the word homophobic about musicals and it's going to make me a little bit nauseated and ashamed and miserable, but I'm going to force myself to do that.
And how do you feel now?
Nauseated, miserable. There was no sort of epiphany.
Well, my son, I've heard your confessions and you are resolved. And
my miracle
absolved
is. My miracle is that Matt Donnelly will deny me.
He will deny you thrice.
Thrice.
Yeah.
Three. There's no doubt about that.
Listen, he's going on this tour. There's absolutely no doubt he is denying you. Maybe as we speak.
As we speak.
Yeah.
As we speak. As we speak on this, that was, I can't do the grammar right. That was Penn Sunday School. Cha, cha, cha. You become naked. Now, this would be better with four on the floor, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
By the way, we should point out, you're singing.
That's me.
That's you singing.
Yeah, that's me. Me and Heather Henderson.
And hear that guitar?
Yeah.
Very much played by people who look like me.
Yes. But I hear that bass.
That was Sunday School. What? Well, thanks for coming by. That was great. We went very long.
Did we go too long?
Almost twice as long.
Oh, I was having too much fun. Thank you for having me.
You know we love you. Hey, Sarah, you got anybody to thank?
Yeah. We want to thank the following listeners. Colin Durham, Lancey Menchu, Stephen White, Harlan Liam Clark, Michelle, yes, sir. Brogan Hastings, Placitas Scott, Damian Martin, Garth, K. Reynolds, Adam Loose Red, Random, and he loved it. Timo Tehoff, Scott Kelly, Kirk Barrett, Adams Berzins, Matthew Appelhans, Fractured Adventures, Carlos Alvarez, Nicholas Emerson, Michael Cornwall, Ross Devereaux, Ryan Matthews, Jeff Bucker, Impossibilities Magic Show in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, Michael Torbay, Elon Lee, Jeff Loomis, Jacob McCully, a lot of L's, Nicole Martin, Crazy Cat Lady Scoop, Music Man with a Z, Keith Corning, No Thank You Daddy, Rachel Hawkins, Chris Angel Tiene Una Pregunta, Jack Schneider, Pete Hawk, Kelly McCauley, I like pronouncing both C's, Corey Mitchell, Robin Garnett, JLBusinessAdvisors.com, Love Tom and Julie Lynn, Ovi Demetrian Jr., Jeremy R. 22, Winter Wiorkowski, Kristen Kledek, Hattie Wabi, Michael Cohen, Mo, Larry, Cheese, Dr. Scoop Little, Joe Mastrangelo, yummy, Jeremiah Jenkins, was not a bullfrog, Michael Kaplan, the jelly bean counting idiot and luckiest husband in the world, Jesse Miller, Alexander Hoffman, Danny Olweeny, Olweewine, I like Olweeny, Stephen Volcano, Jim, the magician who would love to perform the new Penn and Teller block trick, naked, Scooped Mids, and Paul McBride.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.